Secrets from the Tower. We talk to a retired air traffic controller. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome into this Aero News special feature, and thanks for downloading us today. In Lakeland with Bob Richards, author and retired Chicago O'Hare air traffic controller. His book is called Secrets from the Tower. Bob, your book's got some great anecdotes from your career as an air traffic controller in the Chicago area. But I wanted to talk to you today about some issues facing the air traffic control system and just kind of get your take on them. First of all, welcome and thanks for joining us today.
You bet. Thank you very much for having me.
Let me start off with the one that is the big deal in the universe of general aviation and general aviation advocacy groups right now, and that is user fees. The FAA says it needs a stable source of funding, and to do that needs to be able to sell bonds based on a guaranteed income stream from user fees. The airlines seem to just want it because they want to offload their costs onto small plane owners and pilots. What do you see going on there?
Well, basically, in my book, Secrets from the Tower, I look at this basically from the perspective of the FAA. And my take on it is very simple. I mean, there are a lot of ways the FAA themselves could save on spending, particularly with making the system more efficient. And I think when you make the system more efficient, then you reduce the problems the airlines have. And then in turn, the airlines don't have to turn to general aviation to look for their bailout. So it's kind of like grandpa talking to father, talking to little son and saying, you know what, each one is blaming the other. And right now with the FAA, I think the big problems of staffing with the air traffic controlling system right now has led to a lot of these delays that we're talking about that are happening currently. And that translates obviously into fuel bills, which translate into the economy of the airlines, which is causing a lot of these problems where money is basically disappearing. So my take on this, and I look at it from the perspective of if we can go back and get rid of this waste, these problems won't exist to begin with. And it's not just with the staffing. Airlines have been gone after as far as scheduling concerns. And scheduling concerns in the realm of a lot of the controllers is way down on the bottom of the list. We have to take care of our separation standards, which we're not doing right now. And we can't because we're stretching out the airplanes because we have too few controllers. What used to be 7-10 mile separations across centers is now 15, 20, and even 25. And when you spread out that many airplanes, that's that fewer airplanes that can fly in the sky, and that's during a good weather day. Mm-hmm. Imagine what's going to be this summer when the thunder start coming along. You're going to see a lot of costs. You're going to see a lot more delays. Those are the number one issues and should be worked on. Those other things would be with user fees would sort of take care of themselves in time, but for the short term, you know, that's an issue that I guess is going to be up in the air.
Okay. I think the FAA's point was not that they don't have enough money now, but that they need a predictable source of it. And I think that's where the differentiation comes in. But let me ask you about something. You mentioned a shortage of air traffic controllers as causing delays or being a factor in causing delays. We hear a lot of rhetoric back and forth between the FAA that says we've got it handled. And then we hear NATCA come in and say the world's on fire. And we know somewhere in between is the truth. What do you see from your perspective now as a retired controller to be the situation there?
The situation basically revolves around efficiency. And the efficiency is basically of having enough people. The reason you want to have enough people is that you can work all the sectors that need to be worked. Because when, for instance, one person is working the job of two and three people or two and three sectors, there's no way they're going to keep the same amount of spacing that they would normally have if three people were working it. It's just simple common sense. But what that translates to, and this is happening all across the country, if you're going from Chicago to Miami, it's a beautiful day. Chicago Center wants 20 miles. You go over to Indianapolis Center on the way to Miami, they want 25 miles. You get to Memphis Center along the way, they want 30, and so on and so forth. And everybody's different for reasons either revolving around staffing, or at this point, we don't even have enough people, controllers don't have enough people, that is, right now, to even call in for overtime because they're 30 to 40% of the controlling workforce is working a six-day work week. They're presently already working one, two, and then New York now, I've talked to people in New York across the country here, 3 hours on position. And that's because, number one, we're the shortage of controllers, but number two, there's no work rules in place right now. You have a basic situation now where the FAA and the controllers aren't working together. They're not talking. And Congress needs to do something about that. And there's a reauthorization bill that hopefully will get the two back together. Because back in the 80s, 90s, when they were together, you didn't hear about all these delays. You didn't hear about all these problems. And as you start stretching out airplanes and making them wait on the ground longer, making them wait in the air longer, and they're burning fuel. We know how expensive fuel is. That's a major, major cost to everybody.
Talking with Bob Richards, who is the author of Secrets from the Tower and a retired air traffic controller at Chicago O'Hare, and we'll be back with more in a moment. I'm Paul Plack in Lakeland, and you're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
You hear that sound? It's one of the all-time great inventions. Takes lids off cans just like that. But now, let's picture something even bigger. A tool that can take the lid off a whole airport. Actually, thousands of airports. It's a Garmin WAAS GPS. Lets you make glide path approaches using runways that were once closed tight during IFR conditions. Hey, if you're going to fly in the suit, you got to have an opener. Garmin WAAS GPS. Follow the leader.
Diamond's DA-42 Twin Star is General Aviation's ultimate flying machine. Fly fast with the confidence of a twin for the cost of a single. Go direct over water or rugged terrain and cover great distances in the first and only piston aircraft with an advanced airframe, avionics, and engines. The DA-42 gives you options you've never had before, including the Garmin G1000 and no ice protection. Go where you want, when you want, fast and for less. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design for a number of reasons. Clarity Aloft headsets are known for the superior clarity of sound. They're lightweight but rugged enough to meet military specifications. Best of all, they boast better noise reduction than ANR in the speech frequencies that matter most to you. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
Welcome back to this Aero News special feature. Paul Plack here with Bob Richards. He wrote Secrets from the Tower, which is a great book, kind of a, well, we won't say kiss and tell, but what I guess it's kind of a tell-all. It makes your former bosses a little nervous.
Right, and you know, it's a book that it basically talks about air traffic controllers, what we do, and I say what we do, of course I'm retired now, but bottom line too is it gives people and the public a great example of what it's like to be an air traffic controller. But also I give a top 10 list in the back of the book, which is getting a lot of play. I've been Good Morning America, Today Show, CNN, Fox, and everybody's looking at it because basically what I try to do is give solutions, really good solutions in terms of avoiding the waste that is the FAA. Because the airlines and general aviation, they're not going to be questioning Big Brother, who basically can come back to them and say, hey, you know, wait a minute, we're in charge here, you know. So I'm basically one of the people that's coming on and saying, hey, wait a minute, you guys can do it better, maybe to the point where we won't have to worry about these other problems like user fees. And, you know, waste can be eliminated in everything. Don't get me wrong, the airlines have their problems. Scheduling is a problem, but is not anywhere near my top 10 list as far as problems go. So hopefully there'll be things in the future we can talk about and get these people together finally, whether it's the controllers and the FAA or even in the airlines and the FAA. But something's got to give. We got to have a more intelligent discussion about this because right now we're concentrating on just throwing money at things.
Now, getting the controllers back to getting the FAA back to the bargaining table with the controllers seems to be something the FAA is avoiding at all cost. The Bush administration has avoided at all cost because it seems as if they fear that if they get those contract discussions back underway, it's going to get real expensive real fast. Do you think the union, without having the tool in its arsenal of being able to strike, will be able to force politically resumption of contract talks, or are the controllers pretty much going to be stuck with this deal?
See, I don't think the controllers even look at it that way. Most controllers at this time are heading into retirement. This is not a controller problem anymore. It's going to be the FAA's problem. Controllers right now are very close to retirement, so they're not going to lose pay. Gain pay has nothing to do with pay at all, really. Some may want to stay around. The big problem, what we're talking about here, is how are we going to get the system back on its feet? Because with this shortage of controllers becoming much more than the FAA thought it would be, because basically last year we had 656 controllers retire. Of that 656, only 16 were mandatory. That means 640 people went out the door the first day they could. And the FAA was counting on those people to be working those airplanes, the heavy traffic for the next 2 years, and also be those people that are going to train this new generation of air traffic controllers. Neither one of those is going to happen. But right now, today as we speak, secretly, the FAA is going behind the backs of the union right now and talking of many controllers in individual bases and saying, hey, please stay on for 2 years. We'll give you $40,000. We'll give you $20,000. We'll give you $30,000. And it's kind of creating a little bit of disharmony between not only the union but the FAA as well, because it's not the way you do business. But the FAA in their hearts know that this is a problem, and they're, instead of just coming out and saying, hey, you know what, we've got this problem, we need to work on it together, for whatever reason, they decided to try to go it alone. And I just don't think, when people work together, things happen, and when they don't, you're going to get problems. And this summer is going to be a summer of problems unless people get together.
Now, you're retired. How long ago did you retire, and were you in the control tower at one of the airports, or were you in a TRACON, or where?
I was 22 years as a tower controller at Chicago here, the world's busiest airport, of course, and I retired last February. So, yeah, I have a pretty good idea of how the system works. And you know what? I'm only here and writing this book of Secrets from the Tower. I wanted to basically give my kids an idea of what I did. As it turns out, it gives a lot of people an idea of what we do, but also try to give people a perspective of what needs to be done and what can be done. But the bottom line to this whole thing is, people have to work together. And if the FAA and the controllers don't work together, bottom line, it's not going to get done both ways.
Now, you have an interesting perspective of having been out for about a year now. Looking back, are you glad you left when you did? How do you feel about that?
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt about it. I left at exactly the right time, because I was having a blast as an air traffic controller for the time I was a controller in the 80s, the 90s. And then, of course, after about 2001, I start seeing a cardiologist. So it kind of dawned on me that maybe I wasn't pacing myself as well as I should have. But I made it to 25 years, okay? But as I got near the end, my last year, I started seeing this basic dictatorship of the workforce. I mean, here people had agreed upon that controllers would only work maybe an hour, 2 hours at the most. And at Chicago Air, you work 1 hour, you know it. It's like drinking 5 cups of coffee. You feel that adrenaline high. So now when I'm hearing people are working over 2 hours on position on a normal basis because they don't have the staffing, or I'm hearing people are forced, mandatory, 6-day work weeks, I mean, what kind of life is that? And how long can you keep doing that and stay sharp as an air traffic controller? And I think that's what the problem is right now. That's where everybody's worried, well, what could happen? There might be a controller lapse and there'll be a midair, or there'll be a runway incursion. And yeah, that's happened. It's happened since this has happened, with these new work rules being forced on controllers. But the question is, how long are we going to keep doing it? And my concern is, because of the rapid retirements, this is going to be going on for at least another year or two before we can get this workforce back up to numbers again.
We should caution our listeners not to be concerned. Those popping sounds you hear are not a sniper hired by Bobby Sturgill. That's an air show going on behind us. But let me ask you, where you think it'll go from here? The FAA seems intent on lowering the bar for admission to the ranks of air traffic controllers. They've gone to pretty extreme measures to recruit. They've even had signs on the sides of buses driving around cities. What does it take to be an air traffic controller, and where will those people come from to fill this gap?
Well, in the past, particularly at the big places like Chicago, New York, Los Angeles, Dallas, Atlanta, you always got controllers, what we call the farm system of the air traffic controllers. In other words, they'd come from another airport, maybe not as busy, but certainly an airport where they work jet traffic, commercial traffic, that kind of thing. In other words, they had experience. Well, now, because that well is pretty much dried up because of the retirements now, it's really going to be dried up here in the next year or two. Yeah, they've had to go basically to the street, which is a sad situation, because think about this. I mean, if you bring in somebody into Chicago, the world's busiest airport, off the street to become an air traffic controller is not going to be a normal thing. I mean, it would be kind of like, let's say you were in high school as a baseball pitcher, and they said, hey, next week you're going to pitch for the New York Yankees. That doesn't happen. I mean, it has happened. There's some rarities. There's some exceptions. I mean, in basketball, you got LeBron James, who went out of high school, great basketball player for the Cleveland Cavaliers. But that's a one-in-a-million shot. And at O'Hare, there have been at least 16 trainees I know about in the last year, and I keep in touch with those people. One has made it. They had a guy like that. In fact, he was from Eglin Air Force Base. Good controller. Excellent. But he also had a background in air traffic controlling from the military, which didn't hurt. But some of the people off the street, two of them said, hey, get me out of here and send me to Grand Rapids, or send me to another place where I can get some seasoning. This isn't for me. And, you know, what people don't realize is when somebody retires and somebody comes in the door as a new controller, they don't replace them. It takes 2 years to become certified at a tower. It takes 3 to 5 years at the center level. So FAA should have been doing this 4 or 5 years ago, not wait until the last year, which is when they've really started up on the hirings. So we're going to have this transition period for, like I said, lasting for at least a year or two, maybe even 3 years.
Well, you made the analogy of recruiting a high school pitcher to join a Major League Baseball team. This is actually beyond that, because this is like walking up to somebody on the street who's never played baseball and say, hey, kid, you got a good arm. We want you to play for the Yankees.
Well, yeah, and they'll tell you, they probably circumvent that a little bit with their testing. They have a little bit of testing, and it's, you know, probably on the basis of how would you do well in this video game aspect of three-dimensional puzzles and stuff like that. And there is some knowledge attached to it. But, you know, it is a very rough, in a very rough sense, not really a good gauge of whether this person's going to be an air traffic controller. Like I say, coming to O'Hare in the past, we've always had some experience with the controllers from other airports. We do have a little bit of that with some of the trainees that are there now, but the numbers are still way down from what they should be.
Well, Bob, we really appreciate your insight. It's fun to talk to somebody who doesn't have a current dog in the fight but has some experience and background in the area. If people are interested in Secrets from the Tower, where can they find your book?
They can go to www.secretsfromthetower.com, find it at your local Borders and Amazon.
Bob, thanks for joining us, and good luck in the future.
Thank you, Paul. Take care, man.
My guest has been Bob Richards, retired air traffic controller from Chicago Tower and author of Secrets from the Tower. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. On the web, you'll find us at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.